Thank you, Charles. What does it mean to be broken? When a cup or a plate is broken, it falls and splatters into a number of pieces. When a flower is broken, the stem is severed and the petals fall off. When an electronic device like a cell phone is broken, it cracks and fractures to where it doesn't work anymore. And typically, when something like that happens, we think it's a bad thing. We don't want things to get broken. And so, we do whatever we can to protect whatever things we have so that they don't get broken. We do as much safeguarding as we can so that the things that we consider dear, they're not going to get broken. And so as we get those precious plates and cups out of the cupboard, we do it with care and we do it slowly because we don't want them to get broken. When we work in our flower beds, we keep the pets out and we keep the children out because we don't want any of our precious flowers to get broken. And when we buy a cell phone, we put it in a huge orange and camouflage case like mine. So if I drop it, it won't get broken. Because we understand things that get broken, that's not good. We don't want that to happen. And so we try to avoid it. But actually, in some cases, brokenness can be a good thing. Take the example of a horse. A horse is just a wild animal that runs uninhibited throughout the prairie. But with proper training and proper care, a horse can be taught to have someone ride on top of it. A horse can be taught to follow certain directions. A horse can become a very useful animal. It just has to be broken. Now, breaking a horse is not easy. I've never done it before. Jim Gardner probably could tell us about it. It's not easy. It can be a little dangerous. It takes time. It takes work. But if it happens, if a horse is broken, it actually can be a very useful thing. The horse can move from being a wild animal to something that's very useful for the things that we need to do. Brokenness in that situation is actually a good thing. And then sometimes brokenness can teach us a lesson. I remember several years ago, I took a glass cup and I put it in the freezer. I don't know why I was doing this. I think maybe I just wanted the glass to be really cold, and so I put it in the freezer, and then I took it out of the freezer after it was really cold, and I put hot water in it. If you've never done that before, don't do that this afternoon, because I'll tell you what happens. The glass will break. It can't handle the change of temperature that quickly. Well, I learned a lesson that day. I've never done that again since that day. I learned a lesson. That brokenness, the brokenness of that glass taught me a lesson. And so sometimes, while we don't want brokenness to happen, while we don't want things to break, actually in some cases, brokenness can be a good thing. It can make an animal into a useful tool that we can use in various ways. It can teach us a lesson that can be helpful for our life. And I think that is part of what Paul is getting at in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, I want you to open them to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In this passage, Paul is really continuing a conversation that he started in chapter 2 that we talked about last week, where he is describing how God uses people. And last week, we talked about one metaphor that Paul uses in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. In chapter 4, he uses another metaphor to describe how God uses people. He says in verse 7, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay." We have this treasure in jars of clay. The treasure he's referring to is the gospel. The good news of Jesus Christ, the good news of grace and forgiveness and love that comes through Jesus. Paul says that treasure, God has put that treasure in jars of clay. He's using jars of clay as a metaphor for you and me, human beings. Now, that's not a very complimentary comparison, because in the ancient world, jars of clay were things that were inexpensive and disposable. That's not where you would want to put your most precious items. That's not where you'd want to store them, not in a jar of clay, because it's just something that's not worth very much. It's very inexpensive. It would be like saying today, or being similar today, to a fast food container. So what Paul is saying is that you and I, we're like Big Mac boxes. Good for a couple minutes and then we throw them away. That's really all we are, jars of clay. And the point that he's trying to get at, the reason why he uses that as a metaphor to describe you and me, is that jars of clay are incredibly fragile. Let me do a demonstration for you. I asked our resident ceramic expert, Chris Powell, to whip up some jars of clay for us, and he did a great job, don't you think? These are very similar to the kinds of earthen vessels or jars of clay that Paul is talking about in the first century. And Wes Beard gave me his trusty hammer, and so I'm going to work out a little frustration here today and let it on these jars of clay. Watch what I do here. I'm not going to use a lot of force, and watch what happens. Here we go. Cracked, okay, it cracked. Oh, Wes, sorry, or Angelica, whoever's got to clean this up. See what happened? I didn't come back with the hammer like this. I wasn't using it like a sledgehammer. I was just gently coming across. And what had happened? It cracked first, chipped, pieces fell off, and then in some cases it totally shattered. And that's demonstrating what Paul is trying to get at, that as human beings, we're jars of clay. We're exactly like that. And it doesn't take a lot of force from Satan with his trusty hammer to hit us and we start to crack or we start to chip. Or in some cases, we start to splinter into many different pieces. We as human beings are fragile. And as I continue to live and as I continue to be in full-time ministry, I see Paul's words so true. We are fragile. We're fragile physically. One day, you can be feeling great and look healthy and strong, and the next day, you can have an illness and you will be in your bed weak and can't move. I have a friend who lives in Nashville, Tennessee. He's my age. He's a young man, got a wife, got two small girls. He's a preacher for a big congregation there in Nashville. Looking great, feeling great. One day he wakes up in the morning with a pain in his abdomen. That pain gets worse throughout the day. At the end of the day, he ends up going to the emergency room. They run some tests. They find out that he has stage 4 colon cancer. One day feeling great, the next day fighting for his life. We are physically fragile. It doesn't take much for us to get cracked. We are emotionally fragile. One day we can be feeling great and happy, feel like everyone loves us and everyone wants to be our friend. We can feel like we're on top of the world. As Terry said, sometimes we can have those stellar days where we just feel so good. And then something can happen. Someone can say one thing to us. Someone can look at us a certain way. One thing can happen in our life, and immediately the next day we become depressed. And we move from this mountaintop to the valley and we feel like nobody loves us at all and nobody wants to be our friend. We are emotionally fragile people. We are financially fragile. Our world wants to tell us that you can be secure financially, that if you put your money in the right investments, if you put them in the right bank accounts and things like that, you can be secure. Your retirement can be secure. We hear that language all the time. But the reality is that we're just one sickness away, we're just one market crash away, we're one war away, we're one bad decision away from really losing pretty much all we have. We are financially fragile. We are jars of clay, folks. Paul was right. And it doesn't take much to cause us to crack, chip, or to get broken. And I think deep down we know that. Deep down we know that we are fragile. And so because of that, we do whatever we can to try to protect ourselves from getting broken. And so physically, we wash our hands regularly. We become hypochondriacs. We do whatever we can to not get sick, to protect ourselves, because we know we're fragile physically. Emotionally, we put walls around our hearts, and we don't get vulnerable with people. We don't want to put ourselves out there for others, because if we do that, we can get broken, and we don't want that to happen. We don't want our hearts to get broken. And financially, we stockpile our money and we hoard our assets and we put as much as we can in the bank thinking if I can just save enough, then I won't be fragile. My financial future won't be fragile. It'll be secure. And we try to protect ourselves. because we don't want to get broken. We don't want to get cracked. But Paul in 2 Corinthians 4 is trying to tell us that brokenness, getting cracked and chipped like that, can actually be a good thing. Notice what he says. He says, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not us. Paul says, actually, brokenness like this, this can be a good thing. Because when this happens, it becomes an opportunity for people to see what's inside. Well, what's inside this jar of clay? It's the treasure. It's the gospel of God. And people are able to look inside and see that there's this power of God within us on display. The glory of God is on display for the world to see. To see that it's not because of us, but it's because of God. And then Paul gives this wordplay, four different wordplays to describe this dynamic of how he's a jar of clay and how he's experienced brokenness, but how the power of God has been on display in his brokenness and through his brokenness. He says, first of all, I know what it's like to be hard-pressed. I know what it's like to have pressure on every side. I know what it's like to have people pushing at you and feel like the world is caving in on you. I know what that's like. But Paul says, by the power of God, I haven't been crushed. I haven't been crushed. As one person put it, I've been squished but not squashed. And Paul secondly says, I know what it's like to be perplexed. I know what it's like to be depressed. I know what it's like to be blue. I know what it's like to have doubts and to be confused. I know what it's like when Satan puts those seeds of doubt into your mind. But by the power of God, I haven't been in despair. I've been bewildered, but not befuddled. And then Paul says, thirdly, I know what it's like to be persecuted. I know what it's like to be hunted and to be chased by people who want to do harm towards me. I know what that's like, but by the power of God, I have not been abandoned. I have not been forsaken. And then fourth, he says, I know what it's like to be struck down. I know what it's like to be the boxer in the ring, and Satan's coming at me with good jabs and that right cross, and he hits me a few times, even knocks me down a few times, but by the power of God, I have not been destroyed. I've been knocked down, but not knocked out. And the point that Paul is trying to get at is he's trying to explain to the Corinthians, I'm just a jar of clay. I'm nothing special. I'm fragile. I'm just one of these pieces that with a simple hammer, Satan can knock me down. But that actually is a good thing. Because through this brokenness, the power of God is on display. And the power of God holds me together. I'm still intact, and I haven't given up, and I haven't quit, and I haven't thrown in the towel. And instead, people look at me, and they say, Paul, how can you handle this? How can you go through all this abuse? How can you handle all this brokenness? And Paul can respond, it's not because of me. It's because of the treasure inside of me. It's because of God. And that's the way it is to be for all of us as disciples of Jesus. We're going to have moments of brokenness. But it can be a good thing, because that can be a platform to where the power of God can be on display. And that's why I'm so excited about Melissa's Inteno and this partnership with One Safe Place and New Day Services, because there are going to be women that are going to walk into One Safe Place, and they're going to look like one of those jars of clay. They're going to feel cracked and chipped and broken because of what's happened in their relationships and what's happened in their family. They're going to walk in feeling in the pits of despair. And Melissa and all of those others of you that are going to volunteer with Melissa, y'all are going to be able to be there. And you're going to be able to tell those women, yes, this is terrible. And yes, we don't want this to happen to anyone. But actually, in this moment, the power of God can be on display. The glory of God can be shown through your woundedness. Because there's a treasure inside of you. There's a treasure inside of you. And church, like Paul's words, we have our days like that. We have our days when we're hard-pressed. We have our days when we're perplexed and confused. We have our days when we're persecuted. We have our days when we're struck down. We have those days. But God calls us to be a church that in the midst of our brokenness, in the midst of our days, when we look like that jar that's been, the side's been hit out of it, that in those days that people can look at us and they can see there's a treasure inside of there. The power of God is there. The glory of God is there. And hopefully people at some point will want to come up to you or come up to our church and say, how do y'all do it? You've been through so much. How do you make it? How are you still persevering? And you can respond by saying, it's not me. It's the power of God within me. I'm just a jar of clay, but I got this treasure inside. But how do we get to that point? How do we become disciples of Jesus where we can see our brokenness not as a bad thing, but actually as a good thing to reveal the glory of God? Well, Paul tells us. He says in verse 11, he says, for we who are alive are always being given over to death for the sake of Jesus, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. Paul says, you want to be someone who's revealing the life of Jesus in your body? You want to be a jar of clay that is revealing to the world the treasure inside of you? Here's how you do it. You give yourself over to death. You give yourself over to death. In a word, you surrender. And you say, Lord, it's not about me. It's not about my desires. It's not about my agenda. It's not about what I want. It's about you. It's about your mission. It's about your glory. It's about your power. And I submit to you that I'm your servant. And if we want to follow Jesus, if we want to follow Jesus and be his witness, it's not just following Jesus in Galilee. It's not just following Jesus when he's displaying the power, when he's causing the blind to see, and where he's healing the leper, where he's raising the dead. It's not just following Jesus there. Paul says, if you want your life to display the power of God through the jar of clay that you are, you've got to follow Jesus to Jerusalem. You've got to go to that dusty hill called Golgotha, and you've got to die. You've got to give yourself over to death. You got to give your life up and say, Lord, it's all for you. George Mueller was a servant in 20th century England. And he had a heart for orphans. In fact, in his life, he cared for over 10,000 orphans in his work in England. And he did all of it without asking anyone for money. Can you believe that? He just prayed and trusted the Lord would provide, and the Lord did. Over 10,000 orphans. On top of that, he started over 100 schools, and those schools served thousands of children who were mainly poor orphans. And sometime, one person came up to George and said, George, what's your secret? How have you been able to do this? How have you been able to care for all these orphans and do this great ministry? What's inside of you? What's that secret? This is what George Mueller said. He said, there was a day when I died. And then he paused, and then he added to George Mueller. There was a day that I died to George Mueller. He said, I've given myself over to death for the sake of Jesus. I've surrendered, is what he was saying. And because he had surrendered, because he was a jar of clay, his life was able to bring display to the glory of God. And that's what God wants for us. If you want to be a witness to the power of God, you've got to be willing to participate in the suffering of God. Can I say that again? If you want to be a witness to the power of God, if you want to be that jar of clay that is a witness to the glory and power of God, you've got to be willing to participate in the suffering of God. You've got to be willing to surrender. And that's not easy, church, because we live in a time, in a place, in a culture where there's this strong narrative that says what life is about being happy and the good life. And if there's anything that's trying to keep that away from you, well, then you need to do something about that. We need to fight those people. We need to get them away from us because this is what it's all about, trying to be happy. And I don't know how to be more blunt about this than I can be, but to say that that is not the way of Jesus. That's not the way of Jesus. That's not what the life that God wanted for us. The way of Jesus is the abundant life. And how do you get the abundant life? Jesus says, you're to give up your life. You're to give up your life. Jesus said, if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever tries to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will find it. And that's the point that Paul is trying to make. He's trying to tell those Corinthians, you want to be used by God? You want to be a jar of clay that displays the treasure and power of God? Here's what you do. Give yourself over to death. Surrender to the Lord and be his servant. And in the midst of doing that, brokenness will become a good thing. Because in your brokenness, people will see the treasure inside of you and will see the power of God on display. And what I love about this church, what I love about Southside, is there's so many of you who are great examples of exactly what I'm talking about. We're going to have our Day of Hope, March 14th, 10 to 2. Be here. We're going to have speakers. And all these speakers are going to tell exactly what Paul is talking about. They're going to talk about how they're a jar of clay, and Satan came with his hammer, and he whacked them pretty good, and they chipped, and they cracked, and in some cases they crumbled. But because in the midst of their brokenness, they surrendered to God, their brokenness became a platform for the glory of God and for the power of God. And the world has been able to see that in that jar of clay, there's a treasure inside. That's what I want to be, don't you? We just have to surrender. We just have to tell the Lord, it's all about you. I'm giving myself over to death for your sake. C.S. Lewis once said that when he invited Jesus into his life, he expected that he would put up some wallpaper and maybe add a few pictures. And when Jesus came in, he started knocking down walls and building bigger rooms. And Lewis said to him, I just want a small cottage to live in. And Jesus said in response, I'm building a palace for me to live in. And that's what Christ wants to do in all of our lives. He wants to live in us. He wants us to surrender to him so that we can be that jar of clay where our brokenness can actually be a good thing, because through our brokenness, people can see the treasure inside. And the first step to surrendering to the Lord is repenting of our sins and being baptized into Christ. And when we come up out of the waters of baptism, we are new people. We've got a treasure inside, and we've surrendered to the Lord. And if you're ready to take that step, we're going to sing a song invitation. You can just come to the front, and we'll help you. But maybe this morning you're here, and you're like one of those jars of clay, and you're cracked, you're chipped, you're broken. And you need encouragement, you need strength to make it through the week. Our elders and ministers are going to surround the auditorium, and they're there for you to just walk to them and just for them to pray with you and to encourage you and to help you. If there's any way we can help you this morning, please come as together we stand and sing.